In this video, we're going to dive into the topic of storytelling and marketing and why storytelling and marketing is a biblical standard for businesses. I love this quote by Louis Giglio. He said, "The world doesn't need a lecture. The world needs a picture." And here's an example of how this plays out. One of my authors wrote her powerful story about how she got delivered from a 20-year prescription drug addiction. She had been busted by the DEA and just really her whole life had kind of fallen apart, and yet God restored it back, and now she has this amazing deliverance ministry, and people are getting free and set free from drug addictions and all kinds of addictions through her ministry. But she kind of started out, after she published her book, her mindset was that she was going to be sharing all kinds of kind of clinical psychological studies on addiction and why people are more statistically likely to get free of addiction by doing certain things. And it was just very cerebral and it was very scientific, almost kind of like a lecture. But what she ended up doing was she realized that she needed to start sharing her story and focusing on her story as she was trying to sell her book. Because as Louis Giglio said, the world doesn't need a lecture. The world needs a picture. So flash forward to author book signing in Nashville, Barnes & Noble. And there were probably 8 or 10 other authors there at this event. And she was telling me how there were virtually no customers that were coming up to any of them interested in buying their books. And then she went to the manager and said, "Would you mind if I walked around the store and just kind of talk to the customers and just share with them my story?" And the manager said, "Sure, go ahead." And so she started walking around and was just sharing her story with the customers. And without exception, their jaws just dropped as this woman began to share with her about her prior life in addiction and how Jesus, the power of Jesus had set her free. And now she's able to then help other people discover ultimate freedom from addiction in Jesus Christ. And so it's just an example of shifting from just sort of lecturing people to sharing your own story, to sharing a picture, even if it's not your own personal story, just bringing it into a narrative that people can understand, that people can relate to, because people need to see it in order to feel it, and they need to feel it in order to truly buy into it. And I think that's why about a third of Jesus' teaching was in parables. So Jesus didn't just teach in lectures. Jesus taught in stories. And then people, it's amazing how quickly they would find conviction, how quickly they would find understanding. And yes, sometimes people didn't get it at first, and Jesus would have to explain it to his disciples, after he would share the parable in public. He would kind of unpack it for them in private. But Jesus, he would share parables, and parables comes from a Greek word, or a couple of Greek words that just means to draw near. So what does a parable do? A story, just a short story to illustrate a point. It would draw people near. It would draw people in to what Jesus was wanting to teach them, and so that they could immerse themselves and begin to not only understand it intellectually, logically, cerebrally, but that they would be able to resonate with it on an emotional level to where it would truly make a deeper impact on their lives. And one of the strategies that we can use to apply this is to define the story behind your company. And as I shared in a previous video about how with my publishing company, which the name of the company is Highbridge Books, and I shared how the High Bridge was the oldest bridge in New York City, is actually in the neighborhood that I where I started this company, where I got the inspiration for the idea It's the bridge that connects Manhattan to the Bronx. In fact, it connects really more the Bronx to Manhattan because it's an aqueduct that was bringing water into the burgeoning city of New York City, of Manhattan, back in the 1800s. And so I got this vision to bring life-giving books into the hurting people who need to hear these messages of our authors, like the one that I just shared with you a moment ago. And we've got 60 other books that we've published as of the time of this recording. And so what we're doing is we're bringing, as the aqueduct of the High Bridge brought life-giving water to the masses of people in Manhattan, in New York City, High Bridge Books is bringing life-giving books into the masses of humanity as well. And we have seen incredible transformations as a result in so many critical battlegrounds of thought. And we are actively seeking thought leaders in various conversations in order to help disciple the culture in various spheres of influence. And so that is just a power, and it's amazing when I share that story, people resonate in a way that just, it just far surpasses any statistics I could share with them, anything that would appeal to their logic. When I share a story, it just begin, or just a word picture, like a high bridge and this aqueduct bringing water into the city to provide this life-giving water to the masses, it resonates in a way that I just can't do when I share the features of the services that we offer as a company. And so define the story behind your company. I mean, another part of the story that I share with clients and potential clients is that, you know, I had some bad experience with a publisher that led me to realize that there's got to be a better way to help authors succeed in the marketplace, in this incredibly crowded marketplace of ideas that is the book publishing world. And then another point here is to explain how your company fits in your stakeholders' personal story. So when your customer or your prospect, your client comes to you and you're trying to help them understand why they need your service and you're sharing with them the story of your company, the more important part is to help that person understand how you fit into their personal story. And so this is something that really I have to credit to Donald Miller. His program is just incredible for helping people to understand how to remember that their stakeholders want to be the hero in their own stories. And that's his program called Story Brand. And really why storytelling and branding go hand in hand. We talked about branding in the previous video, but Donald Miller, I mean, he points out that when you're marketing something, you need to make sure that you're understanding that that person that you're marketing to, they don't necessarily care about how great your company is. They want to know how you can make their lives great. They want, if you're in the B2B, the business-to-business model, you need to help them understand how you can make their company great. And that's when they're really going to buy in to what it is that you have to offer, or at least become more curious. And the only way that you can get to this point is, as we have there on the slide, to ask questions and listen. And this is what Jesus did, and this is really more of a Hebrew approach to discourse, is to ask questions. It's not to just lecture people or, you know, give them 3 points and take an offering, or just, you know, kind of just throw intellect at them, but to ask questions to get their perspective and then listen, and then you can begin to understand how you might be able to fit within what they're trying to accomplish and in their lives. And then the next point is to leverage the power of storytelling through encouraging your tribe to share testimonials. So the people that have already bought in to what it is that you're offering, there are few things more powerful when it comes to marketing than that word of mouth, than somebody going to their friend, going to their family member, going to an acquaintance or a complete stranger, where the topic of your industry, your service comes up, and somebody recognizes, they remember that they had a good experience with your company, and now they're going to refer somebody to your company based on that referral. And many small businesses, including mine, that have very small budgets for marketing, I should say marketing, you know, a little sidebar conversation, really kind of transcends almost everything that we do in business, because ultimately what we are doing in every aspect of business is marketing. We are marketing something. And so encouraging our tribe to share testimonials is so critical, because we don't have the money to be able to run expensive advertising campaigns on an ongoing basis. What we need are people that have been satisfied, that have been impacted by what we offer, to then go and take that to the people that they have rapport with, that we don't even know, that we much less have rapport with. And so this is what Jesus did when Jesus, he delivered this demon-possessed man there in Mark chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. It's recorded where Jesus said to him, after he wanted to get in the boat with Jesus and be his disciple, he wanted to go on with Jesus to, you know, you deliver me from this, I'm going to follow you for life. But Jesus said, no, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. He went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. And they were amazed because they knew what this guy was like before. And now they see that a miracle has happened. This guy's life has been changed. And so while it might not be exorcism that you're selling in your business, the principle here is that the people who are most impacted by your service, by your products, those are going to be the ones that are going to be the most critical for helping to get the word out about what it is that you're offering. And that's what word of mouth marketing is all about. But you have to encourage them to share those testimonials. And because sometimes they're just not gonna, they just don't realize what it, they don't understand what it is that they can do with this experience that they've had with you. So you need to make it very clear what would be most beneficial. Is it leaving a review for your product on Amazon? Is it going on to Better Business Bureau and writing a good review? Is it to, you know, send me three names of people that you think might be most interested or that would benefit most from what it is that you've benefited from. And so these are all aspects of leveraging the power of storytelling by mobilizing your tribe, your target group, the people that have already bought in to what you're offering, and mobilizing them to go out and share the story of your company through their personal story of how they have been impacted by that outcome. And the last principles here, draw people in to that story. So if you're even going to get an audience with people, there's some things that you're going to have to do in order to share that story with them, to draw them into experiencing what you have to offer. And one is to let people taste before you ask big. So yes, as we talked about previously in the pricing video about asking big and being confident in what you have to offer, Let people taste it before you ask big, before you make that big ask. So Jesus healed the lepers regardless of how they responded in Luke chapter 17 verses 11 through 19. And so yes, only one came back and thanked Jesus. Nonetheless, they all got healed. And so regardless, Jesus didn't say, you need to make this commitment. You need to opt in before I'm going to give you this healing. He gave them the service. He gave them the, what you might think of in the business world as a freemium or a loss leader or content marketing, but he gave it to them free of charge without regard to them opting in or becoming his disciple, making some sort of radical commitment that he was ultimately expecting and demanding of people. And so, yes, it's going to correspond with the value that you're bringing to the marketplace. And so your product is probably not on the level that you're going to be asking people like Jesus is, as we read in the scripture, to offer your body as a living sacrifice. You might not be asking your customer when they say, what is this going to cost me? You might not say to them, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Jesus was doing that. Jesus could do that because the value of what he was offering corresponded with what he was expecting. But make sure that the what you're asking is corresponding with what you're offering. But then allow people to taste it. Maybe allow a free trial. Maybe provide some content marketing. And this is something that is just low-hanging fruit. The content marketing is really proof that you're trying to educate people about what it is that you're offering, about not just what you're offering, but the outcome that they're desiring, where you can give them a taste of that, where you can help move them in that direction without having to charge them for something or even charging them something that is very low cost where you might not be making any money off of it. That's what a loss leader is. You know, we might be losing money on this product, but we know that X amount of people who purchase our loss leader that we lose money on will convert into paying customers at the next pricing threshold. And that is what is going to make back the money that we lost on our loss leader and probably quite a bit more. And the next point here is to build anticipation. So if you want to draw people in to your story to begin to experience what you have to offer, it is incumbent upon you as the marketer to build anticipation and expectation for what is to come. And Jesus certainly did this. You can read about this in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, where it says that now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And so everywhere Jesus was going to go, he sent a team ahead of him to prepare the people, to build anticipation, to build expectation that something great is going to happen in a very short order. So prepare yourself, get excited, anticipate what's going to happen, and that's how people begin to be drawn in. And related to that is to leverage the power of scheduled events. And this really is a matter of human nature where there's something about a scheduled event. Knowing that if we feel like, oh, it's on demand, I can just kind of watch it anytime, or I can get involved with this at any time, or I can purchase this at any time, there's really not a sense of urgency and there's not a sense of scarcity. And those two components, urgency and scarcity, are critical for marketers to understand and to leverage, not in a manipulative way, but in a way to mobilize people to do what is really best for them. And scheduled events are one of the great ways that you can do that. I mean, I've had success with live webinars where you advertise that I'm going to be doing a live information session on this particular product or service at a set time. You promote that on Facebook or Google, wherever, through your email list, through partner email lists, and get as many signups for that scheduled live webinar as you can, to where you can get people to come into that that event and ask questions, and it's live, so they take it more seriously, that they have a slot that's reserved for them to be able to participate in that live webinar, and it can be a very powerful tactic, a powerful tool for you to be able to educate people about the things that your company is offering. So you can leverage the power of scheduled events. An example of that would be through a live webinar. But either way, we are called to tell stories and to use storytelling as a way to communicate our brand and to draw people in to our message in a way that we can appeal not only to them on an intellectual level, but also on an emotional level. See you in the next video.